Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Opening up hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Always appreciate you guys taking us on the go, wherever you may be on your Monday in the big city. It's Nick and Barry and Joel. Couple things, Nick, I think you're spot on. When I did the preview column for Sports Map, I said the X Factor is Eric Gordon, and he's going to continue to be throughout the next series, and if they are lucky enough to advance to the next series, the key is going to be that they need that third guy they can rely on offensively, because we know what Clint can do defensively.
Yeah.
But offensively, you got to rely on a guy like that night in, night out, he's going to be there. And we knew he's been hot and cold throughout the regular season. Playoffs, different story. He's got to step up.
The good thing for Eric Gordon is that if he does start off slow, it doesn't wear on him. It doesn't necessarily mess with him mentally. It could be a situation where he's just having an off night the entire night. But for the most part, he can miss 3 or 4 3-pointers and then come back strong. And then you look at the box score and realize he didn't shoot that bad from three-point land. So I've seen times where he's literally missed the first 5 or 6 3-pointers. And then he'd finish, you know, I don't know, like, you know, 6 and 13 or 6 and 14, which is not a terrible percentage in the NBA. So it's going to be imperative that he not only scores, in my opinion, but if he could do it late, that would be even better.
Whatever Pat Beverly told Jay Crowder didn't work.
Did you see, by the way, that Crowder admitted it? That's what I like. They talked to Crowder about it, and he's like, yeah. He goes, dude wished me a bunch of luck against the Rockets and just unsolicited started to give me pointers. So I thought it was very cool.
Back to the drawing board.
Yeah, but I thought it was cool that Crowder would admit that, because look,
that did not work.
Pat Bev just wanted publicity off of that, because as I was getting ready to do the show last night with the guys they were talking about, I said, bottom line is, if he really wanted to do that, he could have done that under the bleachers, by the locker rooms, where no one was watching. But the fact that he did it on the court was Pat being Pat, trying to send a message to the Rockets, like, he was, you know, like giving you one little screw job, like, I'm going to try and help him. He didn't help.
Well, again, like I pointed out last week, Harden averaged 31 against the Clippers this year. I would be hesitant to take any defensive advice from anyone on that team, because obviously they couldn't stop him. I was just amazed, man, at this game in general. Just Utah, I mean, it felt like they were never really in the game from the jump. I expected a lot more from Donovan Mitchell. I thought he had a bad game, even though he had 19. It just felt like he wasn't as big of a contributor as he needed to be. I mean, no assist. How does Donovan Mitchell go a whole game without a single assist?
That's why I think saying the Rockets win in five or six games is realistic, because you got to imagine, especially with Donovan Mitchell having a not so good game in the game one, that he's going to go off in one of these games.
Yeah,
he's probably going to go off in Salt Lake City.
That's what I said. Look, for a lot of reasons, I said Rockets in five, because you're going to get that one game. It's a tough environment to play in Salt Lake. You're right. Donovan Mitchell's probably going to find it one game. But my biggest thing is, everything that the Jazz do well, the Rockets do better. Everything that the Jazz need, because like you were saying, the Jazz are a above average defensive team, but the Rockets' defense was fantastic.
Yeah.
And the Jazz predicate everything they do off of turnovers. They force you into turnovers, live ball turnovers, and then they get their action going the other way. When the Rockets, like in the first half, were in single digits in turnovers and it was low, they got no chance. The reason why they got back in the game, that 13-4 run to start the second half, was because they were turning it over. They were careless. They were just giving it away. That's what they got to be careful
about. Rockets in the third quarter, I don't know what their deal is. They ended up only losing the quarter by three. It was 27-24 in the third quarter. But for some reason, and D'Antoni even talked a little bit about it with the sideline reporter because she asked about it, but I don't know why this team comes out in the third quarter and just lays an egg. They just crap all over the floor. And they did for most of the quarter. They turned it on at the end. But it's just maddening that you could play so dominant. This team could play. They'll be dominant for the first and second quarter and the fourth quarter. But the third quarter, they just – it's complete opposite almost every time. Drives me insane. But
ever since I've been with the Rockets and even in the, and especially even in the McHale days, Craig and I were laughing, going, change the music, whatever you all – make them stand if they were sitting. Do whatever you need to do because it has been tradition for the Rockets to just come out slower than slow in the third quarter. And again, that's something that can catch you. Not in this round because I don't think they're going to have any problems. But if you're going to play Golden State in the second round, these are the kind of things that you got to work on now.
Yeah.
To get better at.
I'm with you.
All right. By the way, I saw Coach McHale yesterday, and you always forget how big he is. And I don't mean like fat. I mean like
tall.
Big and tall Kevin McHale is. I thought that was interesting. He's just so, so tall. So I would imagine an angry Kevin McHale in his younger days was absolutely scary. Yeah,
and, you know, he had bony elbows. Barkley tells you all the time, the toughest guy he ever went against was Kevin McHale, and part of it was the toughness, and the other part of it was he wasn't afraid to give you an elbow, the forearm, and it hurt.
Yeah, it looks like it. He looks like he could do some damage.
I thought he did a good job of not showing his animosity towards Harden on the broadcast. I thought he did a very professional job of it.
And look, he keeps it real because when we were talking on Friday, the first thing he said to me was, I firmly believe, I'm not just making this up or saying it, I firmly believe he's the best offensive player in the game right now. He's like, I'm not judging him on what we went through as player coach. He's like, I'm just telling you. He goes, and it seems to me and the people I've talked, he said he talked to me, talked to several people internally as well, and everybody said the same thing. James has matured, and that's what happens with a young player. Unfortunately, it didn't happen while he was there, and they parted company. But he's like, he doesn't hate him. It's just that James hated that he was being honest before, and that started the whole back and forth in the media that no one needed.
I think it's fair to say that. I think it's fair that the timing of that situation, of that relationship, probably worked against both of them. James Harden probably could have matured a little bit. You start to see James Harden get into it with P.J. Tucker and other teammates, and then after they argue, they're absolutely cool, you know, fist bump. You know, they're just...
In the past, it wouldn't go away.
It wouldn't go like that.
Right.
It wouldn't go like that. So, yeah, I think they both come a long way. So,
no doubt. All right, Mito's been holding. He wants to get in here on Rockets. What's up, man?
Hey guys. So earlier on in the morning, the Lance, John, and the tens of thousands of people show that they got in the morning kind of touched on this question, but then they got lost on the Game of Thrones nerd talk. So I wanted to ask y'all and see what y'all thought. So the Rockets are trying to run it back. And the Astros want to take it back. Which team is more likely to get it done this season?
Astros. No doubt in my mind.
I have to agree. Sorry.
Yeah. I love the Rockets. Root for them. Lifetime fan. Golden State is tough. And that's your round two matchup. And then you're going to get... I mean, Denver looked a lot better.
Did they?
Huh?
Did they?
They looked a lot better. I mean,
didn't I tell you not to be scared of the Nuggets in the playoffs, though?
You did. They looked better than they did. What was it? That last game of the season when they crapped the bed.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still some work to be done just in round two.
And the East is better.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing that you said is that it's why I agree with you 100% is there's no juggernaut in baseball that's a dynasty that you have to be fearful of.
Right.
Like the Warriors.
Yeah.
You've got good baseball teams, and the Astros are as good as any of them.
I mean, you honestly think that San Antonio's winning that series against Denver?
No, really? I told you that they wanted them.
But
I don't think they win it at the end of the day, but you know what? If they do, I'm not surprised.
I just felt like, I mean, Denver, there were a few things that obviously they didn't do well, but they looked a lot better than they did in the last couple of games down the stretch as well.
And you're right, but
they did get surprised, but I don't see Denver losing that series.
You're a two seed though that you gave up home court and it was supposed to be so vital. So yeah, you're right. You know what? Maybe that's a warning shot. Maybe that's a wake up call, and maybe they bounce back from it. They better.
It's the same thing with the Magic. Do you really think the Magic are beating the Raptors?
I give the Spurs a better chance than anybody in the East that won a game.
Magic won by three, and how many points did Kyle Lowry have?
Zero.
Exactly. So I mean, like, no, I'm not gonna start panicking. There was some surprises. Nets beating the Sixers. That was to me maybe the biggest surprise of the whole weekend. But I'm not gonna sit here and say, oh, Sixers, Raptors, Nuggets, they're not winning any of those series. I mean, a couple of them had bad games. I felt like Nuggets probably could have and should have, you know, won that game, but it's gonna be more difficult, I think, for the Rockets. By far than the Astros. I mean, the Astros,
yes, for sure. I agree. Yep.
Because the Astros are so solid everywhere.
And everywhere you had concerns so far, they've stepped up and proven the exact opposite to be true. So, yeah, I mean, look, like I said, you don't have a dynasty to fear in baseball like you do in basketball. And by the way, you're as good as any team in baseball with the core that you have together. Yeah. So. All right, we'll continue to roll on. If there's something you want to get to, give us a call, 713-780-3776. You can also text that number, or you can hit us up on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You all right?
I'm good. I did
off-air AJ'd.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to throw up.
So I gave my biggest shocker of the weekend, the Sixers going down. If you had to choose one, Nuggets, Raptors, or Sixers, what was your biggest surprise?
I was surprised at Orlando beating Toronto.
Okay.
I was. And I'll say this. The one thing that was an even bigger shock to me, just simply because of professionalism, we're talking about sport, professional sports, the Sixer guys having a cell phone on the bench was as big of a disrespectful, boneheaded move as I've seen in quite some time. And I know that the Sixers are going to give you that we're going to handle it internally. And I know the guys were just dumb enough to realize there's cameras everywhere. That's on them. But that just, to me, as a fan base, like Ben Simmons was out there saying, if you boot us now, then stay booing and go on the other side. No, you know what?
Dude, you're in Philly, first of all.
Right.
You don't want that smoke.
Right. And secondly,
you don't want
you
that
got
crowd
plenty
smoke.
To bitch about because, one, your team crapped the bed, and two, you got guys, including your best player, on the bench with a cell phone in a game that you lost.
Yeah, not a good look. Yeah, I felt like there were all of these, like, I didn't see the East going this way. Now, of course, it's one game, but I thought for sure Sixers, Raptors would roll. I mean, the Magic were 42-40. And to come in and get that win out, you know, a lot of people said that they were playing some of the best basketball down the stretch in the East, period. But still, Nets 42-40. And just, it's crazy. That's what's the cool thing. But then you see, you know, you see, like, to me, when I was saying earlier about the Nuggets, that one they were in a minute, I think a minute and a half left. They had a lead. Jamal Murray really hurt them. Mm-hmm. Jamal Murray beat the Nuggets. I don't know that the Spurs necessarily beat the Nuggets because he had a big missed shot. He had the big, I think he dribbled the ball off his body and it got stolen towards the end there on their last possession. Plus, Jurkic had 10 points.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The Sixers kind of got dominated. Like, that wasn't even close.
But I'm not worried about them. The biggest thing to me was when we talked about possible upsets, I thought it shouldn't even be called an upset, but Boston is going to take care of Indiana. I mean, if Indiana doesn't have Oladipo, I don't care if they added Wesley Matthews Jr. They don't have the firepower, the depth, the athleticism, anything that you want to name. Like, they have togetherness that the Celtics don't have. There's just too much talent there. The Celtics are going to win that series. But other than that, I still say...
People said that was an upset that the Celtics won?
No. Some people, when we said top four seed, Celtics weren't a top four seed, right? They were five.
No, they were a four seed.
They opened up on the road, didn't they?
Pacers were a five seed. No, Celtics were at home.
I thought they opened up. But regardless, we talked about what was going to be the toughest.
Bucks, Raptors, I think we said top four seeds were Bucks, Raptors, Sixers, Celtics.
Because I thought we said what was going to be the toughest first round series. And I said, look, Boston, Indiana to me was going to be the toughest first round series. But I wasn't worried about it from a Celtics perspective, nor do I think that the Sixers or the Raptors should be worried, but it's a wake-up call.
What about the Thunder losing? I know that they were the lower seed against the Blazers, but I think everybody, including you and me, thought that the Thunders were going to roll in this series because they were playing really well.
You got the Garth Brooks song in there. Thought the Thunder rolled.
Thunder rolled. I mean, well, you expected a lot with some of the injuries. With some of the injuries that the Blazers have had. No, I didn't see it all, but the fact is the Blazers are shorthanded and have been for a while now, but it doesn't seem to be affecting them.
Here's my takeaway. Two things. Savvy move by Portland that no one really gave too much credence to was the Cantor move.
That saved them.
Monster
after,
game.
After and losing
you're right, absolutely saved them, right. And then secondly, this is going to be a tight series regardless, but all that Oklahoma City has to do is basically hold serve at home, win one on the road. So, yeah. And it was a close game down the stretch, and Oklahoma City had their chances, and if you didn't see it, I think it was only a two-point game. OKC gets a rebound, and Russell loses control just a little bit. Steven Adams bumps into him. The ball goes to the floor. Either one of them could have controlled it. They both were looking for the other guy. Portland ends up having it dribble to them instead, and they ended up being able to run out the clock and do some things. That's going to be a good series.
Yeah.
So, I don't think it's over after one game there either, but I think from OKC's perspective, I still believe that they can win one in Portland.
After one game and in one round, the one thing that looks like it's the case is there is a parity. Other than the Bucks blowout, the Rockets blowout, and the Warriors blowout, every other game was good. Every other game was somewhat close. Or you could see where, all right, well, that was an anomaly. That's not going to be something that, you know, carries on throughout the series, like with the Raptors and the... Although, man, what is it about playing in Toronto that the playoff woes in that city? Because you look at everyone's like, DeRozan and Lowry, these guys can't win in the playoffs. So they make a trade. They move DeMar DeRozan. And bring in Kawhi Leonard, who obviously has had playoff success. And it's no different. DeRozan goes to San Antonio and wins, and Kawhi goes to Toronto and doesn't.
All the strip clubs during the regular season catches up to him in the postseason.
Go with me here a little bit. So Dwayne Casey paid the price.
He did.
DeMar DeRozan paid the price.
Absolutely.
What's the one constant? And he's a friend of mine, but I got to be honest.
I'm Kyle Lowry.
You know what Kyle Lowry's averaging in game one of the playoffs in his career over 12 games?
What?
9 points.
Ooh.
So if you thought James Harden had it bad in the playoffs from time to time,
yeah, man,
you ain't no Kyle Lowry, because Lowry, he's stuck in the mud.
He's seen a really good stripper in Toronto.
I don't know what he's doing, but he better change his ways, because that's a bad look, and he's the one constant that remains there. And here's the thing. This isn't just if they would somehow, some way, lose this series, right? This isn't just a bump in the road. This is a franchise-changing season for this team. If they win and they go deep, Kawhi could stay. If they bow out in this round or they bow out before they're supposed to, Kawhi's like, bye, I'm gone.
So the not-too-early returns, Bucks, Pistons, Bucks move on.
By the way, you were right. It looks like now Blake Griffin not only – because he was a game-time decision – they're now saying he's probably not going to play the entire first round. Bucks should just get a bye, because I think someone said it this morning, that series should be over in three then, because of the fact that they're just going to cakewalk, and that's a huge bonus for them, because they won't take any beating. They won't be beat up or worn down for the second round. They'll be primed for whoever they get.
So we'll go through. I just want to get y'all's, after seeing game one of every series, what you think. How it shapes up, because there were some surprises. But someone said, should Sixers and Raptors fans start panicking after game one? No.
Not yet.
Not after game one. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this is a five-game series, right? Nope. All first rounds are seven-game series. Sixers fan here, I truly believe the Nets will beat us after seeing game one. Defense had no answer for Russell, LeVert, and Dinwiddie. So
that's a Sixer fan saying that?
Yeah.
You got too much talent on that squad.
Yeah, I shouldn't be beat in the first round.
No, sir.
Love the show. Jazz weren't expecting the Rockets bench to light it up. Totally different team they faced earlier this year. Free gave them some quality minutes. My name is James. I'm an app listener in Utah. I'll be at 3 and 4. Go Rockets. Yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about.
I think Freed is a very, very big addition.
Huge.
Because of, like you were saying, because you know the one thing he brings that's an intangible that a lot of the guys on this team don't bring? That's that energy.
You don't lose it. When Tucker goes out, you don't lose it. When Capella goes out, you don't lose it. You got a guy in there that can replace either one of them defensively and never lose their energy or that spark and the pick and roll and the offense.
Plus, those he made a three.
He brings that fire every night, that like, even when he got into a Crowder. Again, that's something that a lot – the Rockets days of the past when I was there, you didn't have one guy that wanted any part of Jay Crowder, including Dwight Howard's big ass.
It's so funny that you say that, because I do agree with you and I do believe you. I just feel like he's not going to be able to do it with this Rockets team. Not this team. He's not as annoying as he was in the past. Like, Harden is not Crowder. Sweating Crowder as much.
Yeah.
I don't feel like he is.
He's a different player. He's definitely a different player than he was back in those – because you know what? He had a bigger role. He doesn't have that role with Utah. Like, even it's crazy. A year removed, and he has less of a role.
That's probably what it is.
Than he had when he got there. Yeah, I think he's just happy to be on the floor. Because the one thing that I kind of just chuckled at when it was Pat Bev and Crowder, it's like, why are you telling him? Why don't you tell Donovan Mitchell or someone that's going to be guarding him?
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Notre Dame Cathedral is on fire. The roof has collapsed.
That's in Paris, right?
Yes.
It's like Nick was saying, 100 years old or a couple hundred years old.
It's old. I thought it was 1,000, but it's 850 years old. So yeah, it's definitely historic. It's a big deal.
The pictures just look awful. So apparently they were renovating it. Do they know the cause of the fire yet? Or maybe what?
I was just telling him before the show, I hope it's not arson. I just hope no one did that intentionally.
I hope it's not some stupid guy on a scaffolding trying to remodel by using a blowtorch. That's a pretty old building. There's probably some wood in there.
They've already started looking into it. The Paris prosecutor's office announced they started an inquiry into the fire already.
God, you hope it's not something like that.
Wow.
All right, we're at the midway point in the show. Still plenty more to get to. And like Barry said, if you want to talk playoffs, if you want to talk basketball, Rockets, we've got Astros to get to. The draft's coming up for the Texans. Lots of good stuff. And if there's something you want to throw into the show mix, we are here for you. 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It is the second half of The Usual Suspects show right here on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, snap.
You catching up on the socials?
Yeah. Did you see El Jefe's tweet?
No.
Get my phone out right now. Y'all can do the show without me, right?
Nick?
Absolutely. What did he tweet?
Apparently because... Oh, look. There it is. Pulled up my Chick-fil-A app thanks to the heads up by El Jefe. Open the Chick-fil-A app. A reward for Houston. Because the Rockets won. You get your choice. You want... 3 chicken strips, you want 8 grilled nuggets, 8 Chick-fil-A nuggets, grilled chicken sandwich, spicy sandwich, or a regular sandwich. It's all free, baby.
Wow.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'll take the spicy chicken sandwich if you want to go ahead and order that.
You guys will get none of this because it's my free reward, and I'll be claiming it. I'm going to eat that tomorrow.
Boy, does the Toyota Center get loud when an opposing team misses back-to-back free throws?
Yeah.
And they get free Chick-fil-A?
They do free Chick-fil-A if they miss.
It has to be 2 free throws, and I think it's in the fourth quarter, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, really?
And it's the opposing team.
Oh, that's
and they
dope.
Get loud.
I will say this. We always bitch about people not showing up. We always complain. I think we have to give the city and the fans their just due. Turned on the Rocket game. Well, okay. I'm in line. I watched Game of Thrones. When I finally went to the DVR to start watching the Rocket game, it was packed. From the moment
LASIK,
of tip-off.
It's your LASIK messing with you. It's just red T-shirts on the seats.
Was it?
Yeah.
I was going to ask you, because when I walked into Channel
You're a
2,
liar. It was
I said
full.
What Barry said, and I said it to the guys. I said, hey, I got to give them credit. I'm always banging on them when they don't show, and Weck said, nope. Early on, that aerial view from the AT&T telecast.
Really?
It was all T-shirts on seats in the first quarter or so, but they said that by halftime, it was really good.
I will say it was better than last year for game one. For the first round in game one, it was better than last year, because you could see it.
outside the building much earlier than normal, and that wasn't quite there last year. But yeah, I mean, there was some empty seats, but it was almost full.
Okay, are you talking lower bowl empty seats or up top?
No, up top is always pretty full.
Wex was saying the center sections were all T-shirts on the backs of chairs, which is those corporate seats were always talking
about. Well, then they fooled me. You still suck, Houston. What the hell is going on? Come on, man. I was all ready to come and pump up our city and the support and see. Maybe it is the fact that we're a commuter city, and when you get off work on a Thursday, it's tough to get home and get back, and that's why the seats are empty. But y'all just a bunch of lazy-ass Houstonians that just don't go to the game on time.
You even see more media members and fans in the second round, because that's when it really gets
hyped up. Yeah.
Crowded. The first round, no.
But kudos to the marketing folks over there, because those T-shirts disguise it well.
I like those T-shirts, though. Those were some good T-shirts. The Run is One.
Yeah.
I was going to go.
Did you get one?
I did not.
Why not?
First of all, they purposely use like the bigger size, I think, like extra large.
Every shirt's an XL.
And that snug on you?
Yeah. See?
Wow.
I was going to get you one, but they didn't have quadruple X, sir.
Oh, great. That's the joke I just made.
Okay. Hate you.
I was going to go.
That is bad, though, if you wear that shirt and it's snug on
because their XLs are
they're
XL.
Pretty big. They're real big.
XL.
Because they know when you wash them, they're going to...
Yeah, they do tighten up quite a bit. I was doing yard work. Is y'all's yard just overrun with weeds, or is it just mine?
Yeah, no.
Probably, yeah. Mine's bad? Mine's is probably the worst.
Oh, my God. First of all...
Your trees are.
Huh?
He said mine's probably the best. Worst. Yeah. I said, well, your trees are.
Yeah. Well, the fact that the tree's been down for 2 weeks has probably killed all the weeds and grass in that area.
Well, I can
so
tell my
good.
Neighbor that's behind me is really angry because he had like a machete and he's purposely like
jumping on this side of the
really
fence.
Hard. Like he's on his side of the fence, but he's on a ladder, and he really wants to make sure that I see him do this. You know.
Yep.
But I completely ignore him.
Hop on over and finish it up, buddy.
I completely ignore him.
Good
I'm like
for you.
Telling my dog to like come back in the house.
Good for you.
But we're taking care of it today.
So I had to spray for weeds, and now is still the time, by the way, if you want to do it. And this is, but get this stuff called Weed Beater Ultra. It's still cool enough to use it. It's amazing, right? So I was like, all right, I'm going to get out. I'm going to spray all the weeds. Got family coming this weekend. Got to get the yard looking good. I put all the stuff into the hose end sprayer, put it all on, and I spray half of my yard, which is, it's big. It's I have a lot of
that
grass.
Took like a day and a half?
No, but I sprayed it all, and I was like, man, I looked down, I get halfway done, and I was like, how much was in this thing? How much? I looked and it said 16 ounces, and I was like, was this a bottle of 32 ounces? I was like, I should feel like there should be less. And I went out in the garage, and I looked at that because I had two bottles of it, and I was like, this thing is 16 ounces. My stupid ass had the dialer in between, like, because you set it to like 1 ounce, 2 ounce, 3 ounces. I had it in between the settings, so no, I sprayed a whole half of the yard, an hour. I spent out there basically watering the yard, walking around. I was like, you dumbass. And I had to start all over. I was so pissed. It just like killed my whole day and everything.
Did you have to go buy more?
No, because I didn't spray any of it. It was literally all water. Like, I didn't have the dial set right. I was like, boy, I'm such a dumbass sometimes. And then I had to go, remember when the guy called about the rocks I'm putting in?
Yeah.
He told me I had to wash the rocks. I finally did that. I look like a moron. People are driving by going, why is that guy out there with a hose spraying rocks? I was like, this is not a good day.
Never catch me doing that.
Not a good day. So I was like, I'm not going to the rock again. I don't care. I'm not going.
See how much of a headache this lawn situation is for you? You missed the Rockets game.
Yeah.
You're out there spraying stuff with just water for an hour and a half.
Which you could have paid someone to do for you, and you'd had all kinds of free time.
My wife is really on me about getting somebody to do the yard. I'm close. I'm real close.
I mean, not that Nick and I haven't been on you for the same thing.
Yeah, but you guys are just
lazy. What's
going to
be more expensive, that or your water bill?
Come August, it'll be the water bill.
That's crazy.
For real. Like, I could probably get my yard done for $125 a week.
Golly, $125 a week?
That's a lot of yard, dude.
That's why you don't want to pay somebody.
Yeah.
$125 a
dude,
week?
Covers me for over a month.
I had a guy offer to just weed
no, not
the ditches. All I wanted was somebody to come out because I don't like weed eating the ditches. We've established that on the show. This guy, I was like, look, all I need you to do is I got ditches on three sides. I got like a moat around my house, basically. All I want you to do is you don't have to go up, just in the middle, just weed the ditches. He was like, $75 a week. It's so much.
A week meaning, is he coming once a week or twice
a week? Yeah, no, he's coming once a week.
Oh, hell no.
To Weed Eat the Ditches for $75.
$100 a month on the high side for me, bro.
A month. It's just Weed Eating the Ditches.
Mine's $180 for the month.
Wow, bro. Man.
Yeah. And my water bill will be $800, $900 in August. So I'm definitely still water.
I'm talking about
bill.
The yard now. I'm not talking about the water bill.
No.
I'm not talking about the water bill either. Yeah.
I would be surprised if I could, because I'm also on a corner lot. So remember, there's a lot more. I mean, it's 1.3 acres on a corner lot.
No, I ain't got all that.
It's a lot of.
I don't have my own zip code.
It's a lot of. But we have ditches too. You don't have ditches, do you?
No.
Yeah, so that I'm like, all that has to be either mowed or weeded, and you can't. These are steep. Like, I can stand at one part of my ditch, and the grass and the yard is at my head level. That's how deep the ditch is. So it's awful. I hate it so much. I need to hire somebody. I'm just cheap, man. I have to start a GoFundMe for my yard.
That's
something.
Not cheap. That's 125 a week.
I'd be surprised if I could get it for that. I would be happy if I could get it for that.
You could start putting one guy against another guy and get it down to a reasonable. I did that.
Look, so this guy was like, $75, I'll weed eat your ditches. I paid him. They never came back.
Because it was a bear.
Because it was like, it's not worth it. It sucks, man. I'm telling you. It sucks so bad. This is why I should have had kids, because I can be like, get out there and mow the yard.
Yeah.
That would have been the best part.
I did. Yesterday, I found that to be a huge bonus. Like, I was running everywhere because Lisa was sick, and I had Taylor at the trampoline place, and then she wanted to go to the mall, and I'm like, I'm going to tire her out. She didn't get tired, and we were going all these. I get home, I'm exhausted, and the remote's at the other side of the living room, and I was about to get up, and I go, no, Taylor, come here. I was like, bring Daddy the remote. I looked at Lisa, I go, oh, so now I can start cashing in. When I'm tired, at least she can do some things for me now. Here, Taylor, go throw this out. She's like, okay, Daddy. I'm like, I'm liking this.
Like, yeah, maybe you can have her, like, mow the yard and save money on that.
No, she'd lose toes. I'm not going to do that.
Like, doing dishes and stuff like that? Take the trash out?
Yeah, it'll be big when she gets a little older. Yeah, man. Yep, I'm liking that.
Oh, that's why I hate doing dishes, man. My dad made us do dishes all the time.
Dishwasher.
You have to have some newfangled dishwasher. With the way you got vacuums in every room and all this other stuff, and the shirt press thing and all that, you have to have some dishwasher. You ain't doing them by hand.
No. We have it's quiet. I know that. Like, you don't hear that. They have to have a little light on it that shines on the floor so that you know what's on. That's how quiet it is. It's crazy.
That's what I was expecting.
They have to put like a little, there's like a little red dot when you turn it on. But it does have the third rack, which is pretty cool.
You don't have an app on your phone that starts it?
No.
You don't have like a touch screen?
That would be so badass.
A touch screen for your kitchen?
Well, no, I wish. But we didn't get that. But they have ovens now. Well,
there's still time.
I have it on my fridge, but not on my dishwasher.
All right, so knee deep in hour number 2, 3-hour extravaganza. Still plenty of time if you want to join us. 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back to wrap up hour number 2 of the 3-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. If you were interested, because we were talking some hoops previous segments. Tonight, 2 games in the NBA. Brooklyn-Philly game 2. Clippers-Warriors game 2. Just for your viewing pleasure, Barry.
Yes.
Just letting you know.
Okay.
In case the video games get stale.
No, it's a new game. Although, I put a picture from it. It's called Assassin's Creed.
I've heard of it.
And it's taking place in, like, Greece. So there's Greek gods and all this stuff, right? And I had to climb a statue. Why did the statue have to be nude?
That's the way they do it, man.
Yeah. This is just a little alarming to be playing a video game, climbing a statue right past a penis and testicles. And it was not
They got to show you the heavy artillery so you know what you're fighting.
Well, it must have been cold in Greece. Because Andy wasn't circumcised. I was like, this is all way too much for me right now to process in a video game.
The graphics and the attention to detail you don't need.
I put it on Twitter and Instagram. And somebody on Instagram was like, well, did you climb on it? No. I didn't need all that. That was just weird.
Sword fight?
No.
Jousting?
No. I didn't sword fight it.
Here's an interesting one. We have a call. I don't really know where this is going, but it's golf related. We'll see what we got. Steven, what's up?
Hey, do you know there's all these terrible storms that raked away across the country this weekend, and all weekend I saw people on Twitter complaining about their golf coverage getting interrupted by weather warnings. And then last night it all crescendo with Michael Wilbon sending out a tweet saying his coverage of a replay of the Masters was interrupted by an active tornado warning, and he was just railing against the meteorologist for how dare they interrupt his replay of the Masters from a tornado warning that was, you know, within 10 miles of D.C. where he was. I just thought it was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty poor taste when you think about how much property damage had already occurred across the South and how many lives are at jeopardy. If something like that happens, for you to get mad about a replay of the Masters, you've already seen it. Or you know what? How about just DVR it? You can do however you want. Originally, when it first aired, like, dude, that's serious. That's not just we're gonna cut in for a car chase or something like that.
It's not just about you, right? It's about a whole population.
A tornado warning is letting people know, hey, somebody might die. We need to be careful here.
Here's a quote from Wilbon. Channel 9 in DC, the CBS affiliate. You people couldn't wait until Tiger put it out before you took him off the screen for your self-indulgent endless weather interruption. Close quote.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a mistake on his part.
That's what he tweeted.
Not a good look.
But here's my solution to the whole problem, and it's pretty much should be a no-brainer at that station. Just do a crawl.
Yeah.
Let him keep putting, and at the bottom of the screen, say there is a tornado warning right now.
Just go picture in picture. Do it where you got, like, on the top left, you got your meteorologist and the map and everything. Bottom right, you got Tiger.
Either way. Not that hard. Split screen, however you want to do it. But this is not broadcasting 101 by any means, but if one of us could have come up with that solution, what's wrong with the people at the TV station?
Plus, dude, it's golf. Relax.
Easy.
It's golf.
Don't get me started. I'm not Granato, but you know I love my golf. But that's too far.
Somebody said, yo, Barry, I have a homeboy with no legs that is stronger than people with a whole body. Also helps disabled people work out for free. Loves to talk about his life. If you need someone for your podcast, Zach Rule on YouTube. Well, it's not the podcast isn't about people helping people. It's about people that have gone viral. So, I mean, if he's... What?
It's my bad. You were reading that, and I thought he was suggesting that here's the guy that's going to cut your ditches. I thought we were still on the ditches, and so I thought this dude's suggesting that his dude is a hard worker, and I didn't know where he was going with it.
No, like it sounds like a great story. Sounds like a great interview, but yeah, it's really more about people that have gone viral in the past. The podcast is, and not. I mean, it sounds fascinating, but just unfortunately not the direction the podcast is going. So,
well, the good news is people know what you're doing. And they're trying to suggest Pete, absolutely. Which hopefully they're listening.
Absolutely. How's your iTunes subscriptions and ratings and stuff going?
Pretty good. I get about, I think I'm in the neighborhood of about 200 listens a week.
That's pretty good.
When a new episode
pretty
drops.
Pretty young podcast.
Yeah, we'll get every time an episode drops, which I'll be uploading one today after the show. Shout out to John for the help on the editing. But what?
Nothing.
Why are you laughing?
I just had a smile. I didn't laugh.
No, I could hear you.
No, you can hear my smile?
I hear your smile. I can hear a smile. I heard it.
Your old ass ears can't hear a smile.
Bitch, I got on headphones. I can hear everything. What are you talking about?
This second hour fight brought to you by...
Why are you laughing? What's funny?
I didn't know my mic was on. My bad.
Well, now you got to tell us what's funny.
I don't have to tell you. No, I don't.
I can tell you off the air.
Why were you laughing about John?
I wasn't laughing about John.
Because I said John did a good job editing it?
I think John is a fantastic intern.
Didn't you suggest John?
I did.
Was he like bitching about it behind the scenes? Like, man,
no, no, not at all.
It takes too long.
Not at all.
No? What was it? Ho-ass Nick can't even say nothing. No, we're getting about 200 listens every time we drop an episode. And then after that, it's like, you know, 7-8 a day. After the initial release.
Is that not great. But is that where you want to be? Wanted it to be to start?
I mean, it's not bad for only
having, off the ground.
Only having six episodes. I mean, we started in January, but we're only doing two a month. So I'm happy with it. I'm very happy with
good.
It. Good. Could be worse. Could be like, you know, Nick's podcast where you get like two episodes or two listens a month.
I had three episodes and that was a total of two listens. So one podcast wasn't even listened to.
Did you really? I had no idea. I was just
messing with you. I had a podcast. I think there was like three episodes.
It was unlistenable?
Pretty much.
Was that the name of it?
It was the Producer Nick podcast, yeah.
What? And you quit?
That was original.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, I didn't want...
Really put some thought into the title.
I don't want... Not everybody uses a title. Some people just use their name. Yeah, PNP.
The Producer Nick podcast.
Yeah.
PNP.
And what were your topics? What did you talk about?
No, Mike.
Sports, Rockets.
Wow. Wow, you really went out on a limb.
Hey, it was just one for like content, and look, you can kiss my ass. I was trying to give your podcast some love.
You did do that,
and I was trying to tell people to subscribe.
You laughed at it. What are you talking about? You laughed.
I wasn't laughing
at my podcast.
I wasn't laughing
when
at
I said
you.
200. You went.
No, I was thinking about Radu, to be honest with you, and how he does. He's not with us anymore.
How he does nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not here no more.
I haven't seen him since.
Well, I know
he
got married.
On the marketing side too.
No, he got married and he was gone for a week in LA doing comedy stuff.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he's not here. But yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I was laughing.
Radu wanted all the glory. He wanted to do none of the work. Let's be
let's
real.
Be honest,
on the
dude.
Podcast,
he was
let's
like,
be honest.
Both. Okay. Mostly on the podcast, because he'd be like, yeah, man, I think this is a great idea. This is going to be hot, hot. I want to be involved. I was like, cool, man, yeah.
Hey, did you do the podcast? No, I was doing mine. Huh?
Yeah.
I just think he was MIA on our show.
He didn't book a guest. He didn't. All he did was, for the last two episodes, he pushed record and monitored it while I did the interviews, which I can pretty much now do it myself in the side studio. I can just go in, hey, we're ready. Let's roll. Like, it's not that difficult. It's nice to have a producer to move levels a little bit. I was like, bro, are you going to do something? What do you want me to do? Anything. I don't care. But
this is what I was trying to avoid. See, I wasn't trying to hammer Radu.
You can't be associated with it if you ain't doing nothing. So my guy John stepped up. I was like, bro, I have no time. I need somebody to just edit this one episode. He's like, I got you, fam. And he did it. And he did a great job.
Good job, John.
And I'm going to pay him. I don't know how much I can afford, but I'm going to pay him because we ain't making no money on this. I'm going to be in the hole this month on the podcast.
Hey, you could double barrel
it. It'll be more than he gets paid to be an intern. So.
Just ask John how good he is at whacking weeds in the ditch. You could double barrel this
thing. I had no idea where you were going after that first word.
No. I said 20 bucks, and
you said, ask John how good he is at whacking, and I was like, I don't
whacking
know where
this
is going.
Whacking weeds in the ditch. You might be able to get him to produce your podcast and do some weed work for less than 70 bucks a week.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That scared me a lot.
Then it was good. All right, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. It's the final hour of The Usual Suspects. It's coming up next, ESPN 97.5. On
holiday. Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.